Welcome to episode 1041. It's Thursday, June 25th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com, Harry's.com, and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Want a close shave just like me? Hey, you want to save a ton of money? Visit Harry's.com and use promo code Geek News. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots to talk about. Security is once again on my mind. We'll lead that off here in a few minutes. But you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, again, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to welcome you to the show. I want to give a very, very warm welcome to all the Ohana and longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. If you're brand new, hey, I want to welcome you to the family. And here in Hawaii, Ohana is exactly what I kind of mentioned. It means family. So I want to welcome you to our family of listeners or viewers. I got a great show lined up for you today. Lots to share. Lots of stuff in the tech news. Some stuff on the security side that I want to kind of delve into just a little bit again. And then, of course, we got some stuff going on here we'll share before we get into the content tonight. But again, if you're brand new to the show, the most important thing you need to do today is get over to geeknewscentral.com. And I almost started to play the intro again for you. I'm trying. I wonder what's going on here. All right. So let me do that. And let's flip this. All right. So anyway, get over to geeknewscentral.com. And you're going to be able to get subscribed to the show. There's a big, bold subscribe buttons for either, whether you're an iTunes user or an Android user. And more exciting about on the Android side is we've added another one-click subscribe on Android app. So the Podkicker app is now one-click capable. So we've got Podcast Addict, Podcast Republic, Simple Podcatcher, Beyond Pod, and Podkicker. So we've got five great apps for you that all are capable of basically one-click subscribe. So when someone comes to, when you get to a podcast or website, and you see that on Android subscribe button, all you got to do is punch it. And on your mobile device, it'll load the app immediately, and you can subscribe right from there. Of course, we've got a couple of other options for you. You can sign up for the newsletter while you're on the website as well. The newsletter can contain everything that I talk about tonight with all the links to all the articles. And that way you'll have something to follow along as you listen in to the show. This show is recorded every Monday and Thursday night out of Honolulu, Hawaii. I normally get started about 8 p.m. Hawaiian, which is 11 p.m. Pacific, much too late for many people on the West Coast. And if you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the morning or maybe even 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast, why are you up? But if you are, I want to welcome you to watch the show. You can get your geek fill even in the middle of the night. But those of you that are in Australia and other parts of the world, we definitely want you to tune in, check your local time there. But we're GMT minus 10, and we do, again, start at 8 p.m. Honolulu Standard Time. And generally, it sticks pretty close to schedule. But, hey, if you want to reach out to me, you can do so via email. Geeknews@gmail.com is the best way. @geeknews is the Twitter. I'm on Facebook, Google+. Just Google my name. You'll find me. It's not a big deal. And then just kind of friend me on Facebook or follow on Google+. I'll try to follow back. If you have a complete profile and add you to a circle, but we definitely want to stay connected with you at all times and want to hear. And basically, I want to get to know the audience as well. So it's important that we have this back and forth even off the air. And by us having a back and forth on the air, you can do that by sending an email to the show. Kind of makes sense, right? Okay. So, getting watch the show on the Roku, Boxy, Google TV, Samsung Smart TV, Chromecast, just about any place there's glass, you can watch the show if you want, or listen to me on the treadmill or on the way to work. That's the best way to catch it. Hey, today's show, of course, is sponsored in part by our good friends over at Harrys.com. And this last couple of shows is going to bring to close, at least for now, the promo deal that we've got going on with Harry's. And I want you guys really to, kind of take this to heart here. I've been using the Harry's razors now for, 3 months. And it's replaced the very expensive razors that I had before. In fact, my wife and my daughter both are also using Harry's razors. And Harry's probably is more of a typically a man's product, but two ladies in my house are using it as well. And no longer is shaving expensive around here. But Harry's was started by two guys passionate about creating a better shaving experience for all men, yes, and women. And Harry delivers a superior shave. They cut out the middleman, and they offer an amazing shave at a fraction of the price of drugstore brands. And the starter kit is just $15. That includes three blades, your choice of Harry's shaving cream or foaming gel. I particularly like the, because I've had both so far, I like the shaving cream better. But as an added bonus, you can get $5 off your first purchase with my code GEEKNEWS. Again, after you use my code, you can get an entire month worth of shaving for just $10. Shipping is always free. And of course, we would have the phone ring in here. And so go to Harrys.com. And again, I'll give you $5 off if you type in my code with your first purchase. That's Harry, Harrys.com. And enter coupon code GEEKNEWS at checkout for $5 off a starter set and start shaving smarter today. Never fails. The phone's going to, and the phone never rings here in the evening. So, and this is the landline. Now, the people are calling in on the cell. So anyway, I headed it off at the pass. Click the off button. So let's just kind of go into the stack of what's going on here. And then we'll get into the tech content. This week's been a week of interviews. I've been slating time every morning, 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. Hawaiian Standard Time to do interviews. And almost every day this week, it's been a newspaper reporter. It's been someone doing a study. So it's been boom, 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 interviews all week. It's been kind of a weird deal. I think part of it is obviously to do with me being an inductee to the Podcast Hall of Fame. But a lot of folks reaching out to me and asking me for advice on podcasting and everything else going on. So that's been kind of an interesting, interesting thing going on this week. And then, of course, talking with Rob today, Rob Greenlee, my co-host on the New Media Show, we're going to be talking about the president appearing on the WTF podcast with Mark Maroon, and we're going to have Rob Walsh on. We might even have Tom Webster on from Edison Research or not. I'm not 100% sure, but I know Rob will be on to talk about, kind of the ramifications of the president doing an interview on a podcast, which is a first. So he'll be on. But yesterday, I was invited to come on a Hawaii Public Radio broadcast. It calls Bite Marks Cafe. Ryan Ozawa and his co-host invited me on, and we had a great time. And I was with another a podcaster that just got started. And I'm going to tell you, one thing about real radio that sucks is you just are always rushed. And they have to hit certain markers, and they have to read certain scripts, and the call-in lines. And, and it's just like you just feel the minutes being ticked away. And you never get everything through. You never get through everything that you want to talk about. So I am so glad that I am not constrained by radio. And maybe sometimes you guys wish I was, but I'll be honest with you, the the format would drive me insane. I would be in a panic mode trying to, get a guest to be quiet to wrap up for a commercial break, or better yet, trying to hit the mark at the end of the show and get the closing stuff in before you have to be off, or they're just going to shut you off. So anyway, it was good spending time. We probably had about maybe 20 minutes total talk time, 25 maybe, between two people. So the interview's up online already, so it's available. It was really podcast-centric, so not a lot of interest maybe to all of you, but I'll find it and see if I can get a link to it for you. Again, I want to thank all of you for your listener support. We've had a continued rise in people that have been coming in as insiders, and we're going to talk about the goals after the first of the month and what we're shooting for with the insider program. So we'll get that out. But I do want to appreciate everyone doing that. Before we get into the content here, I want to take just a moment and thank GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been a sponsor here, of course, with this show now for 10 years, and continued long-term support, bringing you all great deals. And again, all my GoDaddy promos and all the discounts can be found at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. And there's a stack of them. And I hope you guys all did the homework I sent you home with on the last show. If you didn't, I'll talk about that homework again near the end of the show today. But we've got the 30% off new product purchases. That's huge. 30% off on new product purchases. We've got the 99-cent.coms. We've got these all dollar deals, okay? We got the website builder with a Microsoft Outlook email address, including a free domain. We've got a dollar a month economy of hosting, again, with a free domain. We got a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting, again, for a dollar a month for the first year. So sign up for that first year, get it done for $12, get a free domain. You know, there's no reason, absolutely no reason whatsoever why you can't get started either blogging, becoming a podcaster, putting photo albums up, taking some of the stuff you're putting on Pinterest and Instagram today and putting them on your own website, building your own brand. There's lots of top-level domains, Nate, so there's no excuse. You don't have to have a .com anymore. Our new site, progear.guru, is doing gangbusters. We're seeing some incredible traffic to that site right from the get-go, getting a lot of search engine traffic already too as well. So you can get started today with a top-level domain that is not necessarily the .com and make just as big as an impact out there. So we want you to consider picking up a GoDaddy product or service and really becoming creative. Give it as a birthday gift. Do something for your family. Do something for your wife or for your husband. Get sites for your kids. That's what we're in the process here now. I have a 18 going on 19-year-old that finally has decided that she wants to try her hand at some new media stuff. So we'll be talking about that as we go on. But and she's not going to be doing a tech show, that's for sure. Not following in dad's footsteps. Not following in dad's shoes. But we'll see if we can get her in the seat here with maybe a little different motif background using some green screen technology. But look forward to being able to do some stuff with her. But all these things can be done by simply going over to GoDaddy.com. But first, you want to come to geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Pick the code that's going to lock in the deal that you want. You know, that dollar a month managed WordPress is an incredible deal. It reverts after the first year, depending on what level. So you want you to look at the disclaimers there and what that's going to revert to after the first year. But it's still very inexpensive. You can buy the basic package and still, after the first year, $60, $70. And again, I don't quote me on the price, but just go over to the website and take a peek, and you'll be able to get hooked up with a great offer at GoDaddy. So geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy is the place to get all those codes. We want to thank GoDaddy again for being a sponsor here at Geekness Central now for 10 years. Pretty exciting stuff. No one else in the podcasting space can say they've had a continuous sponsor for 10 years. No one. I'm the only guy. And I'm very appreciative of that. And GoDaddy should be applauded for that just the same. Okay, so let's go ahead here and Let me load the stack of stuff. And I got a good stack today for you. And I want to get in a little bit deep here. And I'm going to revisit a topic that I talked a little bit about in the last couple of shows. And this is about the government hack. And be honest with you, I am very irritated about this particular hack. And largely, we already talked about them getting the OEM data, getting all the government employees, all the military folks, and they really, like 18 million people or something like that has been affected. But what was even more devastating, again, was that SF-86 and that 127-page security questionnaire. Now, that in itself, as we already talked about, was absolutely devastating. But it was revealed at a Senate committee hearing that the data now is the adjudication information. And that adjudication information is really where some potentially incredible damage can be done. And it's significant to national security. They haven't been talking it up at all, and I understand why. As you guys all know, when I was in the Navy, I held a security clearance. I went through a background investigation every 5 years. I had my life examined very, very deep, inside and out. It's all about disclosure, sharing everything, and making sure that there's no information that the government, or not that the government doesn't know about, that someone could use against you to blackmail you. Well, when they're doing this investigation, when these investigators go around, they have access, again, to your medical. They have access to your financial. They have access, if you've taken a polygraph, to the polygraph results and questions that were asked. And so they really want you to come clean. So it's about your partners in or out of your marriage, alcohol usage, debts, gambling, marital troubles, anything they want to know. And those details, those adjudication details, are now allegedly in the hands of whoever hacked this database, which we think is the spies. Now, this compiled information effectively provides a dossier on current and former government employees as well as contractors, and it gives foreign agencies a roadmap for finding people with access to the United States government's highest secrets. And usually the people with a real super duper wazoo clearance, they're the ones that have had their lives dug in even deeper. You know, so the higher you go, the deeper the anal probe goes. It's really kind of the way it works. There's the polygraphs. It could be of a couple different types. You name it, it's in there. And so now with this adjudication information, and let me just kind of explain what happens too. You put down on that form some references, and that investigator goes, talks to those references, and then they go find other people that know you. They're not on your reference sheet. They talk to your neighbors. In my case, they talk to my wife, and there's an interview. And I've been interviewed on behalf of someone else, and they ask all kinds of questions, which I will not get into at all in this show. But I would just say that they ask very personal information that they want you to tell them what the person's character is. And all that goes down on a piece of paper, and then from all this collected data, they make a determination whether or not someone can be trusted or not. And with this adjudication information, these people that are doing these security clearances are revealing stuff to the investigators that maybe no one in their entire family knows. A wife may not know. A husband may not know. Co-workers may not know. But the Chinese or whoever's got this information now know. So the exact information, and of course you've disclosed all this, so there's really, from that aspect, it's good, because now that information really can't be leveraged against you unless in that adjudication information, the individual has said, I haven't told my wife, or I haven't told my girlfriend or boyfriend. And if they haven't told that information, if they haven't shared that, then there can be leverage put against that person. I'm going to tell you, this is where the, and Congress hasn't dug into that. They didn't ask any of those questions. And this can be extremely intimate information. And it borders on humiliation. And again, it's designed to find out if someone can be trustworthy. And, but during the hearing on June 16th, the clearance adjudication information that had been compromised went virtually unnoticed by lawmakers. And again, but mostly focused their attention on the agency's embattled director and the OPM weak computer security. Again, these records span, as I told you, when I was in the Navy, 25 years, and I held, every 5 years for 25 years. It goes way back. So this could, you know, it could span 30, 35, 40 years for some people that are working in the government. And they didn't, haven't specified how many people's information was stolen, but the OPM's background investigations comprise a key part of about 90% of all applicants. In a report over on the Daily Beast, a former senior U.S. intelligence official who asked to remain anonymous said the OPM breach would cause more damage to national security operations and personnel than leaks by Edward Snowden about classified surveillance by the NSA. They say this is worse than Snowden because at least the programs that were running before the leaks could have been replaced or rebuilt, the former official said. But OPM, that's the gift that keeps on giving. You can't rebuild people. And as he said, the adjudicators are in a powerful position because in deciding whether to recommend granting security clearance, they have access to the entire scope of an applicant's file and again are told to make subjective analysis. And so this is going to be devastating for millions of Americans who have served in the military that currently are working as a government employee, and yet no one at OPM is being fired. No one is being held to account. No one is being held. It's part of our system. It's a series of mistakes. This will go down, mark my words, this will go down as the worst hack, the worst disclosure of information in the United States history. Now, whether or not this data is acted upon and people are squeezed, who knows? It's incredible. Now, I am an open book. My wife and I, we have no secrets between us. So that's a good thing. But there's probably people that do. And I'm not in a position where I can be compromised anymore anyway. So it's pretty insane. It really, really is what has happened here. But anyway, I wanted to spend, for those of you that are not in this position, just think about your entire lives being an open book to somebody, to some foreign national that now can take a deep dive on you. And if they want, know everything that they ever wanted to know about your life history, who you know, who you hung out with, family members, you know, foreign contacts, you name it, the whole nine yards. Pretty crazy stuff. Okay, let's switch gears completely. And let's talk about NASA and some stuff that they're doing. Specifically, an article of an Ars Technica is kind of blew me away. We all know that in any modern aviation, there are simulators, and that there are very, very cool simulators when it comes to the old shuttle program. And before it got dismantled, before the shuttle simulator was broken down, and it seems to be a crying shame that they would have broke it down, but these things are not inexpensive to run. They're very, very expensive and require contract support and repair. And even if they're, you know, it's not a cheap system to maintain. It's just like having a full flight deck and interconnected systems that makes lights switch and do what they're supposed to do and everything. But Ars Technica has a great article with probably 30, 40 pictures of inside the space shuttle. Some of the most detailed pictures I think I've ever seen of the flight deck. And again, this is not of an actual shuttle. This is of a trainer. So if you want to dig in and you want to go a little bit nutso, you can spend 30 minutes on this and take a peek. I'm hoping that NASA will send this this cockpit trainer to some museum somewhere. I don't know if we'll ever be able to get inside. I'm sure those that have been able to consider themselves fortunate enough to have been, but definitely a very, very cool tour. And I think you guys will get a kick out of this particular article to take a peek at. So I wanted to share that with you. Some more stuff on the science news. Scientists have discovered what they consider a very bizarre alien-like planet that looks like a comet. It's incredibly big. It's like 143 times as big as the Earth is. It tells you how big this planet is. That's huge. And it looks like a comet, but it's not a comet. It's a planet that's circling a star and blowing off atmosphere as it goes. And it's so big, and even though it's dropping 100 tons of gas escaping from it like every second, they're saying because it's so big, it's only going to like depreciate like 0.1%, you know, per some ridiculous number. And when you guys see this, you're going to be like, wow, it's a cool read. So I have it linked up in the show notes for you to check out. It's, you know, I was almost going to name the show, The More We Know, The More We Don't Know. You know, and that was really kind of my initial theme going into the show today until I saw this piece that talked about this, you know, this ongoing travesty with for the government employees out there. All right, and more space news. Rosetta Orbit approved for extended mission and a comet landing. So Europe's history-making Rosetta Cometary spacecraft has been granted a 9-month mission extension to plus up its bountiful scientific discoveries, and they're going to give some give it a chance to accomplish one final and daring historic challenge, and they want to land the probe on the surface of the comet while that it's currently orbiting. And it's going to take about 3 months for Rosetta to spiral down to the surface. And I'd be excited to hear how they're going to do this, how they're going to keep it from crashing, if they're going to hover it above the surface, or if they're going to set it down, or how this thing's really going to work, because we know what happened the first time with their landing craft. That didn't turn out so well. But we will see where this goes, because now the closest they've been to it is like 8 kilometers. That's the closest they've got to it at this point. So now they're going to try to land the Cometary spacecraft on the actual comet itself. I think, you know, they're going to get as much juice out of this thing as possible before the end. And also, you know, Audi has been trying to fly their solar-powered aircraft from Japan to Hawaii. They almost got it done a couple of days ago, but they aborted their takeoff because of the weather window closed. But Audi is, you know, not only they're doing sponsorship with stuff with that, they're also, Audi is sending a Quattro rover to the moon for the Google Lunar X Prize. So they've partnered up to send a 4-wheel rover to the moon where it will compete for $30 million in prize money. And so they want to put a rover on the moon and cover 500 meters across the lunar surface, all while beaming back high-definition footage to Earth. Now, a series of independent teams around the world are competing. And Audi just got in the game in a big way. And they're working with a German team, a part-time scientist. And I don't know how much money they're putting forward here, but one thing is for sure, they want to compete. And so we'll see how much cash they throw at this thing. And but exciting stuff that we may have some rovers on the moon in the near future, streaming back in HD. Gmail. Yes, if you're a Gmail user, they've actually implemented undo send feature. It took 6 years for Google to bring that out of beta and set that up. Now they've got this where you can unsend email, and they allow you to set a setting on how long you have. So you may have 30 seconds, 60 seconds, or 90 seconds, I think are the three settings. So essentially what it does, you click send, and it really doesn't send it for 90 seconds. It just kind of holds it. So anyway, we've all clicked the send button. We're like, oh, crap, I wish I could recall that. And now you will be able to, but you have to set that up for sure. This is very interesting. This next story, I think, will get all your attention. Okay, Charter. Yes, now Charter's the cable company that wants to buy or is in a bid to buy Time Warner now. This is not Comcast. We're talking about Charter. Charter has hired the leading net neutrality advocate to write its net neutrality commitments and promises that appear to go further than FCC rules. According to a piece over at Wired, Charter hired the gentleman, what is his name? I think it's Amori. Marvin Amori. And again, he's the guy that was like, public enemy number one to these companies. So he goes on to say that Charter hired me, which, to be honest, took some humility on its part, since I've helped lead public campaigns against cable companies like Charter to advise it in crafting its commitment to network neutrality. After our negotiation, I can say Charter's offering the strongest network neutrality commitments ever offered in any merger, or to my knowledge, in any nation. In fact, in the end, I personally wrote the commitments. So I think we all can say, whoa, that's pretty impressive. And he says, I've covered broadband industry for the better part of a lifetime. The vast, vast majority of ISP merger conditions or promises that are utterly mind-bendingly meaningless. They're almost fluff and nonsense, political show ponies written by ISP lawyers to sound goods to the clueless, even if they accomplish less than nothing. So for a cable company, again, to bring aboard a fierce net neutrality critic to pen their commitments to neutrality is, in my opinion, as well as the writer of over Ars Technica, unprecedented. What's more, while the FCC has so far turned a blind eye to more clever types of net neutrality violations, like usage caps and zero rating and pretty much ground zero of the current net neutrality debate, this gentleman managed to get those included in Charter's commitments as well. Holy cow! Since zero rating favors some sites over others based on the broadband provider's preference, not the users, my allies, and I urge the FCC to ban zero rating in all forms. But the FCC didn't go after that. Charter necessarily will. In fact, it will commit to no data cap at all and no usage-based billing. Therefore, it will be unable to exempt any applications from those practices. So I read through the three-page net neutrality statement. And I'll let you guys read it yourself. I even read through the important information for investors and shareholders to see if they slipped anything in there. And it, to me, looks pretty on the level. Now, how long is this binding? I don't know. You know, that's the key here. You know, this is good right now. When do they, can they change this down the road? And I don't know if they do, but at least in this initial document, they really laid the commitments out that are pretty significant. And I'll have the link up in the show notes. I think this is pretty remarkable on Charter's part. I don't think this is a smoke and mirrors thing. I think they understood the mistakes that Comcast made. I think they want Time Warner bad. I think they're willing to compete to do it. I think they're willing to stick their neck out and say, we're not going to do bandwidth caps and all that stuff. So I'm excited to see where this is going to go. Not to say that I'm 100% on board yet with the Charter acquisition, but it definitely is. It makes me feel a little better about where they're at and what they've decided to do. All right, about a month ago, and I didn't tell you guys about this, I got an Amazon Echo. And believe it or not, it's set here in the studio for about 2 or 3 weeks. I was just crushed. And this past Sunday or Saturday, I set it up. And I got it at the $99 price point when they were doing the early beta. And it's an interesting device. It's got voice recognition. It responds to voice commands telling me the weather, telling me how long it's going to take me to drive the kids to school. It tells me the time. I can set the alarm. I can just, you know, speak to it. It'll do that. Alexa is the name of the robot or the, you know, the whatever software they're using there. But that's how you say Alexa. And if it's playing music, it'll stop. So the voice recognition has been decent. Haven't said the thing many things 2 or 3 times. One thing I did ask is Alexa, who is Todd Cochran, and she got me right. I asked Alexa who is, and I said some other names, and she got that right. So it wasn't just tied to my account. The technology is compelling, but it's a cool way to play music and maybe have a new type of alarm clock in your bedroom. I think that's for us where we've kind of decided maybe where it fits. It actually works, in my opinion, maybe a little bit better from a bedroom standpoint as my Sonos does. Although I'm still really, the Sonos sound is incredible. But so far, the Echo has been pretty interesting for me to use and play. My kids were, you know, messing with it. They come in the bedroom and like, Alexa, play rock and roll and you know, turn the volume up and, you know, crank it all the way up. And I was like, Alexa, turn the volume down. And so kids were having a little battle with it. We were having fun and asking stupid things and, you know, trying to trick it up. And they've done a pretty good job with it. But it's going to be available for $200. $180. And I got a remote control with it. I think the one that's being shipped for the mass market is not going to come with the remote control. But you really, I don't need it. You don't need the remote control with it. It listens to you. And setting it up, there's an app that goes along with it as well that you can tie to it and do different things. So anyway, that's kind of my initial quick review of the Amazon Echo. I need to pick up the pace here. We're not going to make the time. All right, the FCC proposes killing Dish loophole in upcoming airwaves auction. And also, really, they've kind of threw the gauntlet down. Dish was helping fund smaller services to buy up bandwidth. They were, you know, feeding them money. So basically, bidding credits are being capped at $150 million for small businesses and $10 million for rural wireless service providers. So that's basically, you know, a provider like Dish giving some folks some cash to bid on some spectrum and then doing some sort of a deal later. But at the same time, they're not going to restrict AT&T and Verizon from really kind of coming in and buying it all up at the highest dollar. T-Mobile's lost their bid to basically make available to them specifically and some of the smaller carriers more bandwidth. It looks like to me it's just going to be a free-for-all here. This is not a done deal. It's being proposed, so we'll see where it leads. But doesn't bode well for T-Mobile. They're going to have to dig deep if they want to get some more spectrum, and it's too bad because we need more competition here in the country. Okay, little H2O. Did you guys know on the iPhone that you can stop it from doing autofocus? There's a way to freeze it. I didn't know that. So when you're shooting video with your iPhone, it tends to, you know, refocus on images when you move in and out of areas. And for me, it's caused a lot of blurriness and overall junky look. So to fix this problem, Coldimax suggests locking the exposure and focus. Just launch a camera app, set it to video, then tap and hold on the screen where you want to set focus and exposure. Hold that tap until you see AEAF lock show up on the screen. I was like, whoa, that's cool. So you can lock it so it doesn't continuously auto-adjust. And you just tap it again to unlock it. But I thought that was really, really super slick. A very, very cool article over on Engadget talking about the Missouri National Guard, who are basically training now on virtual devices. And it's called the Dismounted Soldier Training System. It's a VR type of a practice environment. They're all fitted out with their weapons and everything else. They can do, they can go at building breaches. It's all done virtually. And I was talking to one person several months ago that had some experience with this. It's the first time I've seen an article on it. He said it was very realistic in the soldiers like training with it. So the VR stuff is really going to get big here over the next years, and the military is using it wisely at this point. You know, here in Honolulu, we have horrible traffic. So I was very excited to see that the world's first commercially available personal jetpack is going to go on sale. I thought, beautiful. Instead of buying a car, I'll buy a jetpack. Well, $150,000. So I don't think that's going to work. It will fly 70 miles an hour at 1,000 meters, 3,000 feet. And I wonder if you have to get clearance to fly when it's like that. But, it can fly for more than 30 minutes at 74 kilometers per hour. And if altitude is up to 1,000 meters, it can carry a commercial payload of up to 120 kilograms. So, and I wonder if that's including passenger. But 150 grand, it's going to be very expensive. New York City Verizon is demanding exclusive deals from landlords before installing Fios. And this goes against a New York City agreement with the Verizon that they said you are not to do exclusive agreements. And if you do so, based on the agreement, it also could violate FCC rules. So Verizon, we didn't do these things, but apparently... New York City found 37 properties of the 99 that were examined where Verizon tried to force them into service, guaranteed service contracts. And they're having to answer some questions out there. I understand why they're trying to do it, but they weren't allowed to do so. Okay, bada bing, bada boom here. Oh, this is a big one. The ICANN is about ready to be cut loose in 2016 to go its own. And the agency that runs, again, ICANN, is mulling a plan pushed by the entertainment industry that could dramatically limit use of proxy registrations. And proxy registrations are where you do a private domain registration. I've done a few of those over the years, especially when I'm launching a project and I don't want them to know who's doing it in the beginning. But the proposal, if approved later this year, means that domains would no longer be able to shield their whois ownership information via a proxy registration service. As it stands now, proxy services are required to abide by their home country's legal orders to fork over the actual domain owner information. But the content industry complains that they don't always do so and that the proxies are difficult to contact. So they don't want these proxies to be in place. So if you have a proxy domain, if you want it to stay private, there is a comment section on the ICANN website at form.icann.org. I have a link up in the show notes. It's actually an article that we'll link to tonight that you can go over there and leave your comment on whether or not you want proxy private registrations to remain on any of your domain registrations. This next article borders on ridiculous. And maybe someone in Europe that listens to the show can weigh in here. But there's a new wireless hotspot that has room for 10 SIM cards. And you just looking at it, it looks bizarre. But there it is. You can plug 10 SIM cards into this thing. And you have the ability, it detects which country you're in and will switch automatically. You have to buy the SIM cards from this specific company, and you get X amount of data a month, of course. So it's a full-blown service. So do those of you in Europe have this much trouble? Do you have to change SIM cards like you change underwear as you're crossing every border? I guess you do, but this is pretty nutso if you really ask me. There's no price yet on it. I expect it would be very, very expensive, but anytime I see a hotspot that has the ability to take 10 SIM cards, makes me scratch my head just a little bit. Samsung users, be aware. There's some data out that from a researcher named Patrick Barker shows that Samsung has been disabling Windows Update on at least some of its laptops distributed Windows 8 and 8.1, and the company's response thus far has been astonishingly tone deaf. Not only does Samsung disable the Windows Update capability, installs a utility that prevents the user from re-enabling the feature at all, thus you will not be able to upgrade to Windows 10. So there's an extensive blog post detailing the examination of software. Samsung distributes its own update software with its PC, dubs Samsung Update. One of the components of the software package is an executable called disable_windowsupdate.exe. So the Samsung Update software creates and schedules a job that runs this program each and every time the system is rebooted. While it doesn't completely disable Windows Update, it does change the settings to check for updates, but let me choose whether to download or install them. So this is bad. So you just have to be aware of this if you've got a Samsung laptop. I personally don't know anyone that actually has a Samsung laptop. Those of you in Seattle, congratulations. This Saturday, the Amazon Treasure Truck will be driving around with some special deals. Every day, the truck will carry one item, and you will have to go to an app to find out what it is. And if you want to buy it, it's usually a reduced price product that you actually have to go to the truck and pick up. So they are, I think it's overstock type stuff, so they heavily discount stuff. Like a $477 paddleboard set was $99 via the truck with a 79% discount. So this is only going on in the Seattle area. And where exactly are they going? I wonder if they're going to have like an ice cream truck bell on it. But anyway, it's going to be in Emerald City, wherever that is in the Seattle area, probably where all the rich people hang out. I don't know. A patent troll has won $30 million verdict against Sprint, and they have a lot more trials underway. So here we go again. Patent trolls getting lots of money for obscure patents. I don't think it'll ever end. Archos has come out with a $99 PC stick. It's the latest Windows computer that fits your pocket. The French device maker joins Lenovo and Intel in offering a miniature system that connects to your HD TV via HDMI. Its version is cheaper and will ship with Windows 10 pre-installed. $110. And so very, very cool. This is love to see this type of stuff. Oh, no, $99 for the Archos. Which one's $110? The Compute Stick, this is a different company. It's still priced in the Archos PC, which doesn't offer professional release. So these are coming. This one's not out and available yet. But these are going to be basically mini PCs that will run on the back of your TVs. And you can tune to the channel, and you'll basically have Windows there for you. All right, a coal plant is firing. Google is hiring. Google's new data center to be built on the site of a soon-to-close coal plant. Of course, coal plants are under attack by the administration right now. They don't want, coal-operated power plants generating power in the United States anymore. So this plant in Ridgewood, Tennessee, it's near the banks of the Tennessee River. I thought it was Ridgewood. What is the name of the town? The Widow Creek coal plant is shutting down. And then the data center that Google is going to build is going to go right there. So they're going to try to hire some of the people coming out of the coal plant to go into the Google data center. But anyway, that is news on Google 14th global data center. OnWeb. This is a startup, $500 million in funding. And it's based part in Mumbai and part Cape Canaveral, Florida. And they've announced what's called the world's largest commercial rocket deal, raising $500 million from a group of global investors to support its plans to bring broadband to billions of people via satellite. They plan on launching 648 small satellites with about 50 in reserve, estimated launch cost of between $1.5 and $2 billion. Backers of this group include some Indian billionaires, Qualcomm, Coca-Cola, Mexico Grupo Salinas, Hughes Network Systems, a unit of EchoStar, and Intelsat. Virgin Galactic expects to be able to fly two or three of OneWeb satellites at a time on its small Launcher One rocket. So Launcher One flies on a carrier jet aircraft called White Knight 2, and then drops the launcher and it goes into orbit. So about $10 million per flight, launching three satellites at a time. Very interesting. All right, I won't cover that because I'm a little bit running late on time here. So where am I at? Yeah, I'm okay. There was a... ours did another visual tour of a Ford Research Center, complete with e-bikes and all kinds of cool stuff to see. So this was in Palo Alto, and I didn't know that Ford was actually had something going on in Palo Alto, but they've been running a number of test programs assess the way people travel, hoping to find ways to insert itself into our commutes, whether it be bike or by car. So interesting Ford review. The Ford's Modi Pro, of course, we know was introduced this year. Still a prototype, but will be offered for sale at some point soon. Next article up is if you are a software engineer and you're leaving your job or you're looking to get another one, the average time for hire going through the process once you get into an interview cycle now is 35 days compared to 12 days a number of years ago. So expect to have a lot more personal background information done, mental check, and all this stuff that they're trying to do now to make sure people get good candidates. Is that even legal? Mental check? Don't think so. Amazon also announced another effort. So if you use a Kindle for Android, you'll now notice addition to some of your on your Kindle, there's a handy sharing feature, the application, and it's in the new version released today. You can start sharing book quotes with friends across social and messaging platforms. So if you see a section you like, you can share that on Facebook or email it or tweet it or some whatever social media you use. And of course, Amazon will link to the book that you that you quoted so that they can sell more books. So pretty smart, aren't they? All right, Yahoo has tried to hook search users via a Java update. So be very, very aware if you do a Java update on your software. If you do not deselect the button, you will get Yahoo as your home page and default search engine on both Chrome and Internet Explorer. So be careful when you're updating Java that you just don't click through. Make sure you deselect that, making Yahoo as your default search engine. Some folks have seen the new background for Windows 10, and they're saying it's very annoying. I'll bring it up here for those of you that are watching the video. I don't know. I always change the background out anyway to some space image. But when you load Windows 10 for the first time when it boots, this will be for those of you watching, this will be the desktop logo. And it's basically the four-box Windows icon with looks like light shining through it, like some sort of laser thing going on. So it's a pretty nice picture. They've got a video, actually, that they put together, and it's on Gizmodo on how they got this particular shot. And it's not some artists. They actually use mirrors and lasers and a fog machine to get the effect that they wanted for the... it's pretty cool what they've done here. So they've showed the demo on how they got the shot for the screen. It'll be on Windows 10. I guess Courtney Love was in Paris when the Paris taxi cab drivers started going after Uber drivers. She was basically tweeting, "They've ambushed our car and are holding our driver hostage. They're beating the cars with metal bats." She says, "This is France." She says, I'm safer in Baghdad. So she finally was able to escape and did not get hurt. But the French taxi cab drivers were very upset and shut everything down in France or in Paris itself. All right, Apple has yanked games with the Confederate flag from the App Store. So, I think we all understand this why this is happening. I don't really want to weigh into the politics. I don't want to weigh into the merits. That's not my place. But I found it curious what one gamer company is going to do. They had a whole bunch of Civil Era type of games that showed the Confederate flag. And Apple basically yanked all their games, and they are now reworking them, and they're putting actually a different flag in. And this many people didn't know this, but they said, we're going to use the Confederate flag from 1861 and 1862 as the one that's considered offensive wasn't introduced until late 1862. So I don't even know what the previous flag to the one that is under the controversy today is, and what it looks like. So the question will be, will that start a whole nother round of discussions? I don't know. But to be honest with you, I don't even know what that particular flag looks like. I feel bad because that's probably one of those history things you should know. I think we all are familiar with the one in question is. But boy, we'll see a lot of merchandise coming off shelves that's not going to be sold anymore, and for whatever, don't matter if you agree or disagree, I can understand, and I think you can appreciate why companies are doing that. Jack, you're gonna love this one, and maybe everyone else. Do you guys notice when you get on an airplane that an airplane smells a certain way? When, having flown for really 24 years and spent 10,000 hours in the air, and Jack can attest to this too, when I used to walk on the P3, I could be blindfolded. They could have my ears plugged. I wouldn't know where I'm at. They could bring me up and walk me straight on. And as soon as I smelt the aircraft, I would know where I was at. It's just like being at certain casinos in Las Vegas. You walk into them, they have a certain aroma. It's same type of deal. But airplanes have a unique smell. And it's a combination of things. And many of you would probably get grossed out if you saw this list, but I'll have show notes for you. It's coffee, it's food, it's germs and pesticides and all types of perfume and whatever else may have been sprayed on a part or something like that. Chemical odors. It's just, there's something, the wires and things, how things heat up and the carpet. Airplanes just have a certain smell. Anyway, I just thought this was kind of funny. Last few things. You guys go to Tumblr at all? Tumblr.tv. Well, I guess Tumblr now has a specific site on their website that's nothing but animated GIFs. It's where people can upload them and you can go look at them. They're annoying enough, but does someone really want to go to a website and see animated GIFs? I'm not sure I do. I really don't. Well, since Apple acquiesced and basically said they're going to be paying artists during the trial time, they've had thousands of independent labels have signed up on the royalty deal. So it looks like that Apple will come out of the gate pretty strong with their new offering. We'll see. I want to hear your guys' feedback when it goes beta. Let me know what you think. If you like, is it worth $10 a month? Is it, I don't want you guys to listen to music all the time. I want you to listen to podcasts too, okay? Don't give up the ship here. Listening to podcasts when they bring out this new music product. Foxconn has now become the 10th largest employer in the world. That's pretty remarkable. The U.S. Department of Defense is the largest employer in the world, with roughly 3.2 million people taking a paycheck from the American military. People's Liberation Army of China is next at 2.3. Walmart is next at 2.1. McDonald's at 1.9. UK National Health Service, 1.7. China National Petroleum Corporation, 1.6. China needs a lot of oil to keep that economy running. State Grid Corporation of China, 1.5 million. Indian Railways, 1.4. Indian Armed Forces, 1.3 million. Han Hai Precision Factory, Foxconn, has got 1.2 million employees. So that's telling you something here. But look at this. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4 of the top 10 employers originating out of China. And then you got Walmart, McDonald's in the top 5. A UK National Health Service is actually in the top 5. So the Indian Armed Forces is another big 1.3 million. So that's interesting numbers there. Really, really is. California's passed a vaccination bill. Some folks are very anti-vaccine, but California vaccination bill SB 277 has passed the state assembly for a 46-30 vote. The bill, inspired in part by the measles outbreak that began last December in Disneyland, mandates all children will be vaccinated regardless of their parents' personal or religious beliefs, but still permits medical exemptions. I just don't. So what are they going to do? They're going to arrest the parents? It's unknown whether the bill would allow the religious exemption to be dropped. Oh, they're still, that maybe that's still in play. Excuse me. Because the bill was slightly amended in the assembly, it must return to the Senate's House of Origin. Don't know if they got the religious exemption or not, but anti-vaxxers are not going to be happy about this in California. I know some people are very opposed to it. Whatever, again, that's a personal decision, but California is mandating it. T-Mobile's new Un-carrier move kills lump payments, offers iPhone 6 for $15 a month. So basically, they have some sort of a type of thing as like the Edge plan now with T-Mobile. My wife really wants to go back to the iPhone in a big, big way. Her Samsung Galaxy S5 is off for repair right now. It's not charging. She's using my own iPhone 5. So we'll see what happens when her phone gets back from repair. Hey, Netflix is about to be bigger than ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. This should not be a surprise at all. We saw this coming. The explosive cord-cutting popularity of Netflix will finally torch the lures of traditional broadcast television networks. Analysts predict that Netflix, measured as a 24-hour station by Nielsen, as measured by a 24-hour station by Nielsen, would have more viewers, again, than ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox within the year. So that's saying something there. Go digital. Woohoo! Woohoo! Go digital. You ever have duplicate photos on your PC? Want a way to clean them up? I'm going to share with you an app to do that. Or application, actually, for your desktop, for your laptop. And, you know, Texas has gotten a huge amount of rain. And this is a pretty remarkable video. Anytime I see a vortex, an 8-foot wide vortex in out just basically near a dam, that gets my attention. So they got some cool drone video of this. So the Army Corps of Engineers flew a drone over the vortex and pointed the camera down. I think you'll enjoy it. But they've got buoys out to try to keep people away from this thing. But I still don't fully understand what's going on there and what's causing this vortex. But it is pretty awesome to see it out in the middle of a lake. It makes you go, whoa. It makes you go, I wonder. It definitely brings up questions, right? Okay, so let's go ahead. I've got a few emails, and let me get those knocked out. Let me bring this up. Got a lot of response to my parental control question. And, you know, hindsight 2020, I should have known this myself. But I kind of had forgot. So I want to thank my good friend Ron. Ron, aloha from the East Coast, my friend. I know that you're in the same boat I am when it comes to that SF-86 paperwork. So, you know, what do you feel about that? Anyway, Ron wrote me. He said, "Hey, Todd, aloha, brother. I, too, have an 11-year-old. I use OpenDNS to filter out the bad stuff. On their website, they have instructions to provide you with the DNS settings to put in your router. Additionally, if you don't have a static IP at home from the internet provider, they have an application you can run in the background that slips your current IP address to one to OpenDNS so that your filter settings and metrics follow with you. Been using for years and have not had a problem." Got an email from Jack. He said, "Hey, Todd, I thought about you and the Hana would be interested in Samsung's breaking Windows update and security at the same time. It seems they're creating a non-secure backdoor to install their software, inhibit Windows update, and enters point for hackers to infect their systems. Bad Samsung, Jack." And Jack, thanks so much for that. I appreciate that, and give credit for you for me loading that article tonight. Got an email here from Angela. She says, "Hey, Todd, the FBI issued an alert on June 23rd that data from the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center showed Cryptinwall ransomware has continued to scourge American businesses and individuals alike. The FBI has received nearly 1,000 complaints since April 2014 from victims reporting a loss of over $18 million. Cryptinwall 3.0 is a product that I'm using. Cryptinwall 3.0 is the most advanced crypto ransom malware at the moment. The $18 million losses is likely much more, that as many companies do not report their infections to the FBI, and downtime caused by those infections is much higher. Additional damage is caused when a workstation is infected and is a map drive to a shared file server. At that point, all the files are encrypted and a whole department is sitting on their hands." So there's a lot of social engineering tactics that are going on here. So folks, be very aware of what's going on out there, and have some awareness of what it is and ways to, you know, prevent clicking on stuff that you shouldn't be clicking on. Okay. Next link. I got an email from Bree. She says, "Hey, Todd, $18 million in counting. Office of Personnel Management Chief Catherine Archichella wants you to know she's mad about the breach of personal identification and data and background investigations on millions of federal employees. Just don't blame the OPM," she said. "The hack at the agency is not the fault of computer security staff or contractor who lost key login data," she testified today. How is it not their fault? It's their system. Bree, don't you think it's about time some heads roll over there at OPM? An email from Michael. It says, "Hey, Todd, was listening to Monday's podcast and heard your question about what parental controls people are using. I've been using OpenDS for a while now as alternative DNS and been very happy with the level of controls they have. You configure categories to allow or deny, and you can also allow or deny individual sites. My routers have the added benefit of intercepting DNS queries going out of the house to other services and redirects them back to OpenDNS. So a little harder to work around it. Best of luck, Mike from Albany, New York." Thanks for the reminder, folks, on the OpenDNS and making sure that my 11-year-old is never again, or until at least he's of an age it's appropriate to be exposed to some of this junk, some of this nastiness is out there. So thanks for that. I definitely appreciate it. I'm ready to get out of here. I'm kind of like poop, folks, and I don't know why I had that still up. It's been a long week. I'm going to be honest with you. Been a long, long, hard week. I'm really looking forward to the weekend. I'm having some people from basically Hawaii Associate Podcasters are coming in the house on Saturday afternoon for 2-3 hours. Going to be doing some gear demos. I've got a presentation I'm going to give. We're going to, as we say here in Hawaii, we're going to talk story. So it should be a good time. I'll share kind of a little bit with that on you on Monday and what happened here. But that's it. We're going to be back with you on Monday with a regular show. I want to thank Harrys.com for being a sponsor here at Geekness Central this month. I want all of you to definitely go over to Harrys.com, pick up that cool razor and that kit. Save $5. $10 is all it's going to cost you to try. And the reordering is very inexpensive. That's the best part. And, of course, I want to thank GoDaddy, GeeknessCentral.com/GoDaddy for all the promo codes. Use them all over the place. Share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. And for those of you supporting the show each month, I thank you tremendously for your ongoing contributions to the show. And we'll talk about the goals of where we want to be at the first of the month, which will happen maybe, is it next week or the week after? But everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Thanks for being here in Geek News Central. We'll see you again. Aloha.